fan etiquette at a playoff game, the do's and don'ts with your rally towel.
And madness in college football. Is it the NIL or is it the transfer portal responsible for all these amazing finishes?
It's the emerging podcast scene presented by Extend Technologies on 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app.
The first 4 hours were simply an amuse-bouche.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
Sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
I'm good.
Your table is now ready for Carmen and Lima's emerging podcast scene.
We're brought to you by Extend, XTENDAV.com. Hello.
Hello, Kenny. Great to be with you on the podcast. What's up?
So people were calling out our crowd at the Guardians game yesterday.
Who was doing that?
Guardian fans on Guardian fans.
Losers on the internet.
Wow. And I just threw my phone across the room by accident. Lyman, can you pick up my phone?
I can do that for you.
Here it is. Johnny on the spot.
Thank you very much.
Loose Piggy!
You should understand exactly what I do to myself when I'm holding my phone at certain times. Anyway... What is this? What is that? Oh, sorry. That was the thing I listened to our friend on. Apparently, now Owen was at the game. So was Mitch, but Mitch wouldn't say hi to Owen for whatever reason.
We were in two different games.
And also, in case anybody wanted to take up for Mitch, it's not your job to say hi to Mitch. It's Mitch's job to say hi to you.
Well, for a multitude of reasons. Anthony, you tried to feed Mitch that he shouldn't want to give up prime real estate. He was standing on the guardrail by the... by the walkway to the aisle.
If
he did not have a real estate spot. I had a real estate spot with extra space.
Well, also, if his friends were there, they couldn't have said anything. So if his friends were there, why didn't they say anything? What type of friends does Mitch have? Does he possess people that he believes are really his friends? That's something I need to know. But also, I mean, you're the senior member. You have more seniority here. You're older. I mean, how old are you? 42?
I'm old enough to know better.
42. Yeah. So, yeah, he should come say hi. You're the one with a wife and kids. He needs to come say hi to you.
I was there with my wife and a kid.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's supposed to come say hi to you, not the other way around. So, on Mitch, that's bad. But somebody had said that the crowd sounded like a library until the sixth inning, to which Owen took great exception to.
And if you go on MLB's feed on X, it proves... every time Boyd got the third out as a strikeout, like two different times, maybe it was three times. Go listen to the crowd. They have the noise there. It is not a library. It is loud. And then there is a pop, a crowd pop, which if you know kayfabe, brother, you know what that means. And the pop was even louder because they had achieved the third out of the inning. Maybe it didn't sound that great on TV, but the MLB account has the TBS feed on there. And it sounded pretty loud. When I re-listened this morning, it was pretty freaking loud if you were in the stadium.
So you think this person is full of shirt?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it sounded...
I think it's people looking for things to complain about.
I thought it sounded on TV great. I didn't think there were any problems with how it sounded on TV. I also had one friend say he wishes it was louder and people were standing more. I mean, what was the standing situation?
Oh. I don't know. I stood from 2:45 until 7, so I don't know what to tell you there. I was in standing room, so maybe that had something to do with it. But, yeah, there isn't a people standing. Have you been to baseball game? I know it's playoffs. It's the ALDS. It's not the World Series. There is not standing until a crucial moment in the game, and then people stand up. But especially the lower-level people, upper-level people do stand a little more or in the backs of that. But you don't see that on TV just off of the batter's box feed that you get when they show players, when you
every sport is different. I've been to college football games where it was you're standing for the entirety of the game.
Oh, of course. I've been to
I stood for the entire Ohio State-Michigan game. That was 42-7.
Oklahoma games. I have never sat 1 second in an Oklahoma game, and this was, you know, early to mid-2000s against their, like, Tennessee Chattanooga, where they won 52-7, and you're still standing
now,
the whole
time. When's the last time you've been in a big college football game, though? A big one.
Man, it's Ohio State, but I was
like
in a suite.
Mean something
game? The last three Ohio State games, I've been in a suite, so congratulations on all someone else's success.
They were, and those suite games were games in which, like, because I went to Ohio State, Minnesota the year after they won the national championship, and that felt like you were in church. I mean, there were just people.
Yeah. I was
quietly waiting for something to happen.
Yeah, in the Notre Dame game, they were playing Wake Forest, so that had something to do with it. It wasn't like it was, and it was at the end of the season, and Wake was bad last year. We sat down. You were sitting. Mm. And, but, you know.
So here's, to me, the etiquette on this. Man, it's been a while since we've done this on the show. But as somebody who has been fortunate enough, and it's because of my career, to get better and better seats, I no longer do what I did when I was younger. When I was younger, I was going to stand. When I wanted to stand, I was going to stand. I didn't care who was behind me. I didn't care who I was obscuring. I don't care if you were old, young, pregnant. I was just very rude, and I was standing no matter what. As I got older and started to understand the world a little bit later than I was supposed to, when I am in the really nice club seats and there are older people behind me, I really try not to stand ever. Ever. Unless the guys in front of me are standing, and then I kind of have to see.
Yeah.
And then I'll look at them kind of like, hey, the guys in front of me.
For comfort there, too.
And again, these are seats that I'm not purchasing. Right. So it's not like I have the seats. I'm going to do what I want. I understand, guys, you have the right to stand. But I also think you should have some common sense. And if you're in really good seats and your view is not obscured at all, and you got 75-year-olds behind you that have been going to games for 40 years and they can't physically stand, come on, what are we doing? And now younger me would have hated that opinion.
Didn't we have somebody at the Iowa State game complain about standing?
Yes, yes,
that's
we did.
Right.
So I will always, and I've gotten tapped on the shoulder, and I apologize. I also, at Cavs games, especially when I have really good seats, I even crouch down, because I still am able to while my knees can, when I'm walking down the aisle during play, which they really shouldn't even allow you to go down the aisles.
And I've always waited.
Yeah.
But I don't.
They've gotten stricter with it over the years. Like hockey, you can't. You can't physically do it while the puck is in play.
Man, I want to go to some Monsters games this year.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I want to do that.
We should do a show event. Show event. Because I hear events are going to be coming. So show event. Anyway.
There's a new share.
I will not be participating.
And you will not be participating. Even when I walk down the aisles, like in a football game, and I've done this at Browns games, if I'm doing it, I'm the rude one doing it during play. So I got to get down. And I'm able to. So I get down. So I feel like I've become more cognizant of that. Younger me would have said, F you, I'm doing whatever I want. I don't know if that's a breakthrough. I don't know if anybody cares.
No, as you become older.
It's just common sense.
No, as you become older, you can become more responsible.
You should.
Normal people become more responsible for themselves and their surroundings and more considerate of those. So, yeah, it's not only natural the older you get, the more likely it is for you to sit, not just based on your own size and ability to stand. It's also for the consideration of people around you.
I do think there is with your age comes, if we're setting like, we were supposed to set 500s yesterday. If someone stood in front of me in 500s, although I did pay a pretty penny compared, especially to 2 weeks ago, I paid six times more for the ticket than I would have 2 weeks ago. But if somebody's standing in front of me there and kind of taking their time getting in their seat during gameplay, I'd be like, whatever. You know, we're up in the nosebleeds. If I paid good money to be down pretty close to the field and you want to take your time getting in your chair, that's a problem. I definitely will say something. I have said something. I'll do it again.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
But it's because I do think when you're young, even if you are spending your own money on that, your responsibilities in life are not what they are once you become aged, and the ability to appreciate the situation that you're in currently.
I agree. I got another one for you. Let's say, as I've gotten older, I've been more attuned to this as well. And this is at all the different sporting events, all Browns, Cavs, Indians, doesn't matter.
You get to go to them all.
When you are sitting there and you're noticing somebody, cause you know how tight these seating areas are.
Yes.
Like I was told the Raiders stadium, Patrick on the other side, the sales division of Odyssey, he said it's the most legroom you've ever seen. He said it was incredible. It was like luxury. It was like first class, no matter where you sat.
Wow.
So the new stadium, that was one benefit to what they had. Who knows if we build the dome, you know, if we're going to have that. But in most stadiums, it's not like that. And there are people that constantly get up, and you'll see it, especially if it's a younger dude that is going for yet another beer, and it's still the first half, yet another potty break. People will be like, come on, man, because you got to get up. Everybody in the row has to get up. It's like an airplane, but everybody, there's like sometimes you're landlocked and there's like 10 people and that now are impacted by your decision to continue to go to the potty.
That is why I will not, if I'm buying the seats, if I am not an aisle, I will not go. It will not happen. I must be on an aisle. One, because I'm huge and I need the leg room. So I need to kick out at least one leg out into the aisleway or next to the chair in front of me. I'm not going to stick it out in the aisle and cause a situation where someone could trip.
It's a tripping.
A hazard, if you will, a trip hazard.
Well, we got egress and ingress situations.
Always.
But we also like to have a couple. And when you have a couple, you end up needing to go to the bathroom. Well, I'm going to have an easy out so I can get up and out and I don't need to get in anybody's way and make anybody else get up. So that's why I insist on an aisle. I will not buy. I always, if I have to buy a seat, I'm always going to sit on an aisle. It's always going to happen. It's been that way for 20 years, and I can't imagine it ever changing. I had a seat bought for me earlier this year where I was not on an aisle, and I was annoyed to some degree because it was a bought seat for me, so I can't be that. Yeah. But it was.
You can always ask to switch.
Yeah, but you know what? I just assume that people who are on an aisle,
they wanted it.
They wanted the aisle. Yeah. So I have to have an aisle seat. No.
But do you guys, are you to the point, because Owen, you're the one going to more games than anybody these days, yes, as a fan, as an actual fan. If somebody in your aisle, you keep seeing the same, it's always a dude. Let's be honest. It's always a dude.
Yeah.
Get up for the fourth time in like a half hour. Are you like, come on, man. You can't keep doing this. You're making everybody stand up. You're getting in the way. You're not even getting down while you're walking.
Yeah.
Have you seen that happen? Because I've absolutely seen it.
I have.
Not as much recently. I do. I am also an end of the aisle guy, and I do police my aisle.
How do you police the aisle?
Oh, you're the foreman. You're the foreman of the aisle.
I will make comments. You know how I can make little cutters every once in a while at people? I'll do that with people.
So you'll do that?
Oh, yeah. I don't care. I paid money for the spot.
Well, yeah, so you are that.
I get free tickets to some things through other jobs. And generally, I'll remember that. And if I'm there on someone else's dime, I don't speak up too much. But if we're there off of my hard-earned money, I'm going to make sure that it's not affecting my enjoyment or my wife's enjoyment of the product that we're there for. And so, okay, I'll say something to somebody.
Yeah, I agree with that. What did you want to say? We had a college situation we wanted to get to.
Well, question. Okay. I had a question because...
If you have a question, I'll answer it. What's your question?
Have you ever heard of the running back Ashton, is it Genty?
Genty.
Okay.
Genty. It's Genty.
You clearly Ashton see Genty. That I've not been watching Genty. Boise State, but maybe I should. Have,
and he is going to be the first running back taken this year.
All right, 5'9". 215 pounds. He threw, let me see, how many games so far this year?
He has over 1,000.
He has 1,031 yards. You say five games?
Yeah, I believe that's the graphic I saw.
It's five games. He's played against one good team, and that's Oregon. And in that game, he rushed for 192 yards and three touchdowns. Holy cow.
So are you talking about Heisman or record over Barry Sanders?
Yeah, he had six touchdowns against Georgia Southern. So here's my question. People are starting to talk about him and Heisman buzz, but their schedule is going to be, you know,
easy.
Their schedule. So we haven't seen, like, I don't know how you want to.
I'll tell you how I can have a chance.
Well, I want to.
Not if he'll actually do it, but if he'll have a chance.
Well, hold on here. Here is the last guy to win a Heisman. You got to go all the way back. Got Ty Detmer in 1990, won it at BYU. Outside of that, I mean, LaDainian Tomlinson, he finished fourth with a 2,000-yard rushing season at TCU. Marshall Faulk was a finalist, I think, three times, but couldn't win it at, San Diego State?
Yes.
So it's really hard. It's always going to the power conferences, the top teams. Does he have a shot?
Yes. He has to do two things.
What's he got to do?
He's going to have a couple of 300-yard performances. He's also going to have to beat the Barry Sanders record. If he can do both those things, he has a shot. I don't know if he's going to win it. If he can do both those things, he has a shot.
He had 259 yards against Washington State, and he had 267 against
Georgia Southern. It's a great outing. He's going to have a couple of 300 yards. Who's left on his schedule? I can tell you whether or not I think he's going to have a 300-yard game. That's so easy said. I'm sitting in the studio right now on a Tuesday. What do you got? What do you got for me?
All right.
What's the schedule? What's the Boise State schedule?
All right, here we go. We have the schedule. He's got Hawaii. He's got UNLV. He's got San Diego State. All these teams unranked, by the way. He's got Nevada, San Jose State, Wyoming, and Oregon State. Did I say UNLV? I did.
Okay.
Those are the games. They do not have a ranked opponent the rest of the year. So his one game, he did prove it against Oregon.
So,
but that's only one game.
I follow the Mountain West decently close. He should not. Hawaii, he'll have a chance.
I was just going to say
Hawaii. UNLV, he shouldn't. All these games, I'm assuming he's going to have over 100 yards rushing in the first place. Okay, let's go with that. You know what? Let's go 150 yards each of these games. That's how good I think he is.
Have you seen the highlights? How's he doing it? What is it? He's 5'9".
Here you go.
So
off he goes.
Yeah, that's what it is. Okay,
and I mean people are going because it's so much fun because he busts off these big long runs, so it's like and all the fans go nuts at Albertsons. So Hawaii has a chance. It is a road trip though, so it's different. UNLV he shouldn't, even though boy they just gave up 40 points. But they just lost in overtime.
They did.
To a really good school. So he shouldn't, but maybe. San Diego State, he shouldn't. They're in their first year of their rebuild with Sean Lewis. He shouldn't. Nevada, there will be a chance. San Jose State, Brett Brennan left some talent there. I'm going to say no. Wyoming, I think there's going to be a chance.
But you said
I think that they're not in a...
You said two-pronged. You also said...
300-yard games.
You said the Barry Sanders record. I don't know what the Barry Sanders record is.
It's 26... 20, no, it's 27-something is what Barry Sanders had. I think it was 2,700 yards. Because I want to say...
2,628 and 37 touchdowns in 1988.
Who from Wisconsin got close?
Ron Dane.
No.
Pete Dane.
Anthony Thomas.
Wasn't Monty Ball. It was someone with an M.
They had, 15 straight.
Someone from Wisconsin got close years ago. I don't know if he's in the NFL anymore. Oregon State. No, Oregon State, he won't. He won't. So he's got a handful of chances here. He's got a couple of chances to get over 300. I think he'll have to beat Barry Sanders' record, and then
Melvin Gordon.
Melvin Gordon, there you go.
How'd we forget him?
He'll have to beat that record, and then he'll have to have a couple of 300-yard games, and they're gonna have to be good. What he has going for him is that the media and fans in general really like Boise State, and it's a cool atmosphere. I think a lot of us have I used to hate Boise State just because it was a radio bit in college. So, you know what I mean? Yeah. I acted like I hated Boise State. I didn't hate Boise State.
He is now
clearly.
Ashton, you said it's Genty.
Yeah. Genty.
He's now like the gentle leader. He is the Heisman voting leader. But the reality is all these other guys are gonna get so much more buzz down the stretch.
Where do they go? Who are they?
Teams.
Travis Hunter. Yeah, they're gonna have chances for Heisman moments.
Well, right now they're 4-1. They're coming off a bye. I thought it might start out poorly for them. They do have a chance. Being bowl eligible is just something for Colorado. I still think when the bottom falls out, it's really gonna fall out. And I wonder if Travis Hunter finishes the season. But right now all good, so continue.
Cam Ward orchestrated the big comeback.
There's a who's who when it comes to that. On Miami is, have they already played Clemson?
Well, it looks like he's going to throw 5 interceptions every game.
Yeah.
I mean, he's all over the map, but he has been sensational in some huge moments.
People.
Jalen
Milroe is going to play in some big games.
He's going to have a ton of big games. Dylan Gabriel, Oregon. You imagine if he goes off on Saturday?
Yeah.
Against Ohio State.
That's going to put him over.
And then Carson Beck, Georgia. Boy,
he's going to play in big games.
On a side note, it would be very interesting if somehow, some way, it probably can't happen, but if somehow, some way, Deion Sanders has the number one quarterback taken in the draft and then the Heisman Trophy winner in the same year, and they win like 6 games.
And I'm still going to say he did a bad job.
Right. Deion would be like, look at what I just did. Look at what I just pulled off. People are going to be like, dude, you guys are a dumpster fire. And he's like, Heisman, number one overall pick.
He would, too.
He would. And you know what? I think it'd be fun. Because that'd be his last year anyway, right? He'd be done. He's not going
to
stay there.
I don't think he is either. I think that Gentry has a chance to win the Heisman Trophy. Mitch wanted to bring up, which I said to you guys before, but Mitch was either wasn't there or didn't hear. You know, Army and Navy have a chance to play twice or even three times if they were to do a playoff.
We're just ruining every rivalry in college football. That's okay.
Boy, you just hate college football now.
I mean,
you do it, but you hate it.
I mean, again, yes, Alabama, Georgia, amazing. The upset Vanderbilt over Alabama, amazing.
I've never seen a more level playing field in years.
But none of these games mattered. If Vanderbilt would have beaten Bama in...
They're auctioning off pieces of the field for $800. You're telling me that game doesn't matter?
Smart. Here's why it doesn't matter. In the old days, literally before they went to the expanded playoffs this year, I mean, Bama could miss the playoff because of a Vanderbilt loss.
Yes.
That means the game is so much bigger than it is now. But now it is not big.
But Anthony, they still could miss it. Now they have Tennessee coming up in a couple of weeks, and they just lost to Arkansas.
I understand
that becomes a playoff game already.
But in the old days, especially the old BCS days, their season could be over.
Well, that's the old BCS days.
Think of how crazy that
would be. I understand that. Fair enough. But I think that I thought the 14 playoff was fine enough as it was. I really did. Now that it's 12 teams, I really don't want bracket creep as you talk about. But damn, man, especially with the NIL, I see a more level playing field than ever. We're seeing that teams cannot acquire. Do we hear anything about gray shirting as much as we used to?
No.
Probably not. So before there was gray shirting, so teams like Alabama, they had unbelievable depth. Now your depth is different from every year. Now, I do think there should be some curtailing going on. I don't believe there should be a spring session. I don't believe there should be a spring transfer portal session after spring football. But I also think that NIL has made things like Tennessee. Was Tennessee ever going to have a chance before NIL?
So you think that's why? I mean, Tennessee had.
I think it's made it better. I think it's made it better for the general fan to watch teams play each other and have a chance to win. Before, I could never take Tennessee seriously, and they did everything they could. They gave away money and fast food bags to try to win football.
Wait a second.
Now they can do all that legally and still have a chance to win these games.
Is it the NIL or is it the transfer portal? I think they're two different things. Here's why.
I think it's both. I don't think it's two different things.
I don't think it's NIL because Georgia, Ohio State still have way more talent than everybody else. That hasn't changed. They still have way more talent
but there's
on paper.
No, I don't think they still have way more talent. I think that teams have...
Than the other, all the other teams in the SEC?
I think... Oh, hold on. I think they do have more talent, but the other teams can match them with depth. So if you lose certain guys, you're going to be in a big amount of trouble there. And so Alabama, when you lose anybody, they don't have the depth that they used to. That's why I think that they lost to Vanderbilt, because it wasn't like they went out against Vanderbilt. I don't think they played necessarily terribly against Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt was able to just push them around. It wasn't a bad weather game. It wasn't a whoopsie-daisy game or a game where everything just bounced against Alabama. This was a football game that Vanderbilt went out and won, and I don't think there was any chance before that. I mean, they went out and they got, 50 new guys at Vanderbilt? Now, I don't think that that's a recipe to compete for national championships.
Yeah.
Vandy is not competing to win national championships. They're competing to keep their coach employed and to maybe go to a bowl game, possibly. But really, I don't know if that's even the overall goal for them. It's to just win as many games as possible, because a team like Florida State, they're trying to win national championships, and it's blown up in their face. They're a classic case of using the transfer portal and having it go wrong for you.
Yeah, I think
what Vanderbilt has done
has
been remarkable, and you couldn't do that before.
I think it has more to do with the transfer portal, because the amazing like guys like Caleb Downs at Alabama, now he's at Ohio State. Like, you see these guys just changing teams, and it is going to cost, in any given year, it's going to cost what could be a really good team on paper. They lose that continuity, and look how late in the year guys are transferring and everything. And then you have guys transferring four games in. We know about the famous UNLV example now over that shadiness. But I think that the fact that the coaches don't even know who's going to be on these teams year to year, I think that has more to do with why you might see some big time upsets. Plus, I mean, Alabama just lost Nick Saban. I mean, we can't gloss over that. I mean, we can talk NIL and transfer portal all we want. They also just lost an unbelievable all time legendary head coach, right?
Well, it's also that their secondary is not as good as what people thought it was going to be, even after Caleb Downs left. Like, there were some people going, "Well, we didn't lose much down in Alabama." No, they did. And Diego Pavia proved it to you. Who, by the way, is, I don't know if you
in
were watching much of that game. That guy's nuts. He's the same guy who peed on the logo at New Mexico.
Yep.
That's strong stuff.
We thought the Baker planting the flag thing was a big deal.
They kept showing his brothers. That family is the O'Doyles in so many ways. They're tough people, crazy people, and that's part of the fun. I'm just thinking it's more of a level playing field than it's been.
Yeah, I want to see. All I'm saying is it has been more level this year. I want to see if that continues, because once these teams get their GMs in place and get, remember, these teams are all winging it right now. Once they get their GMs in place, and who's going to afford the best GMs? It's all going to be the same programs that were at the top before that had the best facilities. Now nobody cares about facilities. Now it's going to be about managing a roster and professionalizing it. Right now, it's not professional. It is right now, just look at the UNLV situation. You know, that stuff can happen right now. I don't think that stuff's going to happen in 3 years. I think they're going to have their P's and Q's, you know, all the all that stuff kind of ironed out.
Yeah,
so I want to see. But you're right. It's been an amazing college football year. I don't want to take anything away from it. But all I was saying was, like, Ohio State could play Michigan theoretically this year three times. That's not
good. That's terrible.
That's not good. But, you know, what was it? Was it LSU and Bama played, you know, two times in it where they played in the national championship? And it's like, that was such a turnoff to college football. It was such a, even if they were the two best teams, it was a total turnoff. And now I think we're getting to a point where, all right, Michigan won the national title last year. That's awesome. You know, we know Notre Dame is going to be in the playoffs basically every year. Like, you're getting teams more from all over the place. I want to see what it's like in the playoff. I want to see if they are going to be total blowouts, you know, all over the playoffs like you had seen in the 14 playoff.
I don't understand if we have this many good teams now at the top of the heap in each, the Big Ten and the SEC, why we still can't do divisions. I don't understand it. Why can't they still do divisions? There used to be the Big Ten West was a place that, you know, for Luke Fickle, it's a tough thing to say, but it's where a place like Wisconsin goes to hide.
I know,
it's
I know.
The same place where
it gives
Iowa
those fans a chance, right? It gives those fans a chance.
Yeah, but now
to be interested.
You have USC out there, you have Oregon out there, you have Washington out there. You go, okay, you guys are in the Big Ten West. In the Big Ten East, Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State. I don't understand the problem.
My thought is, until they figure out whether or not the ACC and Big Ten are going to get the guaranteed spots and everything, I think they were worried that a team gets screwed because they don't make their conference championship game by virtue of being on the same side of their side of the division in the conference. And so they don't want teams, and we've seen that. We've seen teams, and the committee every year decides new rules every single year. There's no precedent. Every year we're sitting there on that last day, and there's intrigue about whether or not a team that got left out of the conference championship game is going to vault over another team and get into a playoff.
Yeah, no, that's true. But I think that the best way to do it. I mean, we have these championship games now that are, I mean, you want to talk about meaningless. Good God.
I just wonder if Ohio State, Michigan need to, and this messes with tradition, but move up their game. Instead of playing two straight weeks.
And that's why I say that to me is the biggest thing. Like, no. What makes college football great? Part of a big reason, because guys, you can't sit there and tell me it's a quality of football. You could say it's entertaining, and there's a lot of entertaining college football games. There's not as many good football games as we think there is. There's just entertaining. Part of the entertainment is the tradition, the fan reaction, and that it's winner take all once a year. I do not want to have a world where the Iron Bowl is played in consecutive weeks. Well, I mean, if Hugh Freeze continues, they'll never have to worry about that. I don't want to live in a world where the Iron Bowl or the game are played in consecutive weeks. Army-Navy, I mean, that's a nightmare. Army and Navy do not want to play that game in consecutive weeks. They don't want to play it more than once a year because that's what makes the game special. It's once a year. It's a service academy. Wait, you're going to have the President of the United States out there
twice,
weeks in a row?
Two times.
To walk across the field?
No, you get the President pro tempore.
It's either a busy man or a busy woman coming up this year. We can't be doing that. So I don't like that. I think that they still need to find a way to stick to divisions. And in the two biggest conferences, I think it's very, very easy. And in the other ones, why can't you have a division in the Big 12? and have two separates and then have them play with each other at the conference championship. The same thing in the ACC. The Big Ten, I think it's equitable. Before it was like, man, Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State on that same side, and then what do you have out west? It's stupid. It's only reached by geography. All right, well, now that you have teams out west that are good or are expected to be good or expected to play at an elite level, make a Big Ten West. And then naturally, no, Wisconsin should not be able to compete with Washington and USC. Mm-hmm. Maybe Washington, but not with Oregon and USC. Neither should Minnesota. Neither should Iowa. Neither any of those schools. And if they do happen to go there one year, great. It's a big thing for them. I remember this also, because it looks, by the way, I think that if it were to do it tonight, and I know we got to go, that is it true that Indiana right now is on course to play Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game?
Excuse me?
I believe that Indiana right now may very well be on course to play. A lot of things got to get settled, guys. It's only October 7th, 8th, that Indiana may be in line to play Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game.
They're 18th ranked in the country.
Yeah. So even when they try to do it this way, it doesn't go their way. Which reminded me, I remember the time I went to Bloomington, and this is what makes upsets special. Like, I heard that caller from Paul Feinbaum, legend in Alabama, calling in 6 minutes just ranting. By the way, he was right on everything. Mike DeBose never lost to Vandy. Like, you think of the terrible coaches they had. He mentioned Mike Shula, which was a blast from the past. I'm going, oh my God, even he never lost to Vandy. Great point. It reminded me of the, which I don't remember because I was 2 years old, but it reminded me of the time I went to Bloomington for an Akron, Indiana game. I went to a local bar, ate, went to the bathroom, and there was this big, like, shrine to the 1988 Ohio State-Indiana game that Indiana beat him. And I remember that was a long time ago, I thought, in college, and I'm going, man, it's been 36 years since that game. And Indiana still, I guarantee, in that same bar in Bloomington is that same, like, shrine to that game. That's still what's cool about college football. Like, the Browns are supposed to beat Pittsburgh once in a while. I know we went through a long stretch where we didn't. They're supposed to beat each other. In college football, yeah, you can go 30 years. You can go 30 years without doing it. 40 years without doing it. I remember when Navy finally got a... Was it Navy? Yeah, I remember when Navy finally got Notre Dame after like 44 years.
That was awesome.
Years.
That was awesome.
I remember the people driving because I was on the highway at the same time as the people from Annapolis because they were going on 80 to Notre Dame, which was like, I was like, oh yeah, they're playing tomorrow. That's going to be kind of cool.
Someone want to ask the Marble Mouth why they didn't go after Nathan Rourke?
Is it Curtis Rourke or Nathan Rourke?
Nathan. Well, that's the brother. The brother.
I get the Rourke.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got them mixed up too.
Okay, Curtis. I thought it
Nathan's
was Curtis.
In the CFL right now, I think. But I get them mixed up. No, Curtis Rourke, 14 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. And could have gone to Michigan. They didn't look at him. They're terrible.